This episode is sponsored by Community Marketing and Insights.
Community marketing has helped business leaders understand and better connect with the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender communities since 1992. If you want to learn about how you can work with them, whether you're a business owner, executive, government official, or part of an employee resource group, please visit www.communitymarketinginc.com. Now let's get into the interview. Welcome to Gay Ambition Podcast, where we bring out the best in life, business, politics, and the community. I'm your host, Paul Collington. I am very excited to be sitting here with Tom Roth, the president, and David Paisley, the senior research director of Community Marketing, Inc. We are here in Fort Lauderdale for the 14th conference on LGBT tourism and hospitality. And it's been such a pleasure to have all this energy here in one room for such a great event. What are you most excited about for this event? And who are some of our attendees and sponsors?
Well, I think the one thing that I really enjoy about the conference is my ability to learn. We are professional LGBT market researchers. And you'd think after 20 years, we kind of would know pretty much what's going on out there. But it's such a dynamic market. Everything changes every year. Everything changes within the year. So this is kind of an opportunity to bring everybody together and do a big update. And we learn a lot. So that's what makes me excited about the conference. And the other thing that I really enjoy is just the feeling, the sharing of knowledge and people presenting their challenges as well as their successes and really just helping to grow the whole market segment.
I think that's something that's really unique, maybe even about the LGBT community, is that not only in the travel industry, but a lot of professional segments, people get together to build the industry as a whole. And they share competitive information that will help build other people's business. But in the LGBT community, it's really important that we all are building each other's business and building this market.
Absolutely. And CMI is the pioneer researcher, strategist, and corporate trainer in LGBT markets segments, and we all start somewhere, right? I know in your introductory session you were saying starting out with just surveys on pieces of paper, and then it evolves from there. So how did your business evolve from 1992 to what it is today?
Well, I think one thing we need to give a little shout out to the travel industry. The reality is that early in LGBT marketing, it was travel and alcohol that was first interested in us. And a lot of our business was built on the travel industry. Today, we serve lots of different segments, banking, insurance. We even have the U.S. government as one of our clients. But in the beginning, it was travel and alcohol. And we owe a lot to travel. We sort of really enjoyed doing this conference to really get all of our travel friends together.
Some of our initial research really helped open doors to the travel industry. And when we first started in 1992, there was very little interest, actually, in LGBT across the board. But we were able to push through and get our first survey published. And the first survey indicated that LGBTs, we have more passports, we use our passports, we travel far more frequently than the mainstream. We are avid travelers. We spend more. It's part of our lifestyle. And when that message got out to the travel industry, I think that, regardless of what a marketer may think about LGBT in 1992 or 3, which was not necessarily favorable, they had to overcome that. And they did very quickly because they saw the economic opportunity. And that really, I think, opened the floodgates.
One of the important things, I think, in business, successful business, is a component of passion. You could hear passion in both of your voices yesterday as you're talking about your vision and your business and some of the research that you guys did. And Tom, you talked about how we'll never really know how many LGBT people we have in the United States until we have full equality. And I'm wondering, where does each of your passion come from? And how do you get up and use that passion to do the work that you do every single day?
Well, for me, community marketing is a business, first and foremost, and we need to make a living. But underlying that is a passion about making a difference. And the feedback that we get, that we really are genuinely making a difference. We started the company with two themes. One was research, because there hadn't been any significant research on LGBT as a market. The other is education. And because we dedicate so much of our time and energy to research and education, those are really the two legs upon which the LGBT marketplace has grown. We've helped LGBT become a topic in marketing boardrooms around the country and beyond based on those two legs that we stand on. And the feedback we get is, oh, your research really helped us. You know, we've been able to dedicate some funding. And not only the outreach, but we also really push for inreach. Inreach means your own corporate policies, your own domestic partnership, hiring practices, internal, treating your own employees with dignity and respect before deserving to go after our market. And so not only have we helped make money for our clients, but we've also really, I think, affected deep internal change. That has been far more effective than the government approach.
I think one of the things I've been really passionate about is just the qualitative research that we do, and that's really focus groups or other kinds of qualitative methods. We're actually asking LGBT people how they're feeling about these different topics. And, you know, as a person that's facilitated really hundreds of LGBT focus groups, both face-to-face and online, I learned so much from our panel. And at Community Marketing, we have a panel of about 70,000 LGBT people that we use both for surveys and for focus groups and other types of research. And whenever we send out a survey, they have my personal email, and they start communicating with me, and they start talking to me about how they feel about the questions and the topic. And it's fascinating. And they have access to me, I have access to them, and I learn so much from them.
Let's dig into that survey process a little bit more. I know you have the community survey each year, and you also have the survey on tourism. Can you take us through that process? How do you decide how to approach the market, and then what questions to ask?
Well, it comes from our clients a little bit. We, especially say our travel survey, since we're at the travel conference, we put out a call to all our clients about what kind of information do they need this year, because it's a constantly changing market. It changes so much every 6 months. So our clients need to tell us a little bit about what they're looking to learn this year from our surveys, and then we put it out.
The two of you work very closely together. You're really hard to get in a room together, so thank you for taking the time. And I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about how it is working together. Give us the inside scoop.
We can almost complete each other's sentences. We've been working together for so long. We get along great. We both have, I think, different perspectives that we bring to the table. When we develop a survey, for example, or a qualitative work, focus groups and so forth for a client, we really complement each other. I mean, I bring certain approaches to the design of the research, and then Dave will take a stab at it, and he'll add a whole different perspective that I didn't think of, and it goes back and forth, and I think ultimately we have kind of what would be called a gestalt, a wholeness that is really far more than the sum of either of us could do independently. So I really am enthusiastic about getting to work with Dave. I learn so much from him every time we do a project together. I really can't imagine doing this without that side of the perspective.
I think one of the things that people compliment us about is we do a lot of presentations together where we'll put a screen in the middle of us, and it almost seems like, again, as Tom said, we're completing each other's sentences because we know what the other person's going to say to some degree, but we also have a comfort with not only each other but with the audience, and we're actually winging it in some ways more than perhaps we tell people, but it's all based on research, and that's the important thing, is that I think a lot of people, they talk about the LGBT market from how maybe what their friends said last week. It's not how we approach it. We approach it from a research basis. We only say things that we learn from our research projects.
Good. Yeah, in fact, I think sometimes I don't want to have an opinion. It's funny because, again, we've been doing this 20 years. We should know a lot about everything. But if a new client comes along and says, well, what media should we advertise in, or what should be our message? I should be able to just say what that is, but I don't. I don't want to. I want to get it out to the consumers, get their feedback, get their insight, and then synthesize that for the client. Because then we know that it's genuinely a reflection of what the community is thinking today.
In these surveys and in the presentations, we get a lot of facts and statistics. I'm wondering if there's any facts or statistics in 2013 that have surprised you.
I wouldn't say a surprise as much as an extrapolation of year after year. Of course, we've been doing it 20 years, so we kind of observe the trends as we go. But the move to mobile communications and the importance of mobile communications for LGBT, we're not the only marketers who would acknowledge that LGBTs are the early adopters of new technology. But every time we do a survey, it's so far and beyond. We're finding that mobile now is more important to LGBT, and Facebook is more important to LGBT than banner ads. Hmm. And that's just happened in the past 18 months. So terminology is another thing that I think surprises us, how important and passionate LGBTs are about the terminology that we offer them to define themselves in our surveys. It evolves every time we do a survey. We get feedback. One that that we found over the past few months is the importance now in terms of the word divorced or the word widower, which we never had in our surveys before. But now with gay marriage, yes, people are actually widowers and people are actually getting divorced and they want to have access to those terms. It's been fascinating.
I think the other big fascinating trend we are seeing right now is this whole concept of really reaching the LGBT community through mainstream advertising. Mm-hmm. I think, say, this past summer, Kindle did it amazing through their ad of a heterosexual and a gay couple who are on the beach. And
love that Kindles.
It's a beautiful ad. But that's a big trend, is that I think in some countries, particularly in Europe, maybe you can even say Canada, government really was the driving force between LGBT equality. That's not true in America. Corporate America was what really drove LGBT equality. And what's really interesting now that now finally the government's getting on board, you know, the Obama administration's certainly been much more friendly than past administrations. But even today, corporate America is really driving this. They're really the ones that are taking that step. And for better or worse, America is about making money. And when corporations want to make money and they embrace the gay community, we all come along. That's just the way America works sometimes.
And circling back, ultimately, they have to make those internal changes in order to be able to communicate with us appropriately. If a company just rushed out to the gay market and started placing ads, but it was found out that they don't offer domestic partner benefits or they're, you know, they don't have a gay employee or LGBT employee resource group, we know about that within seconds, right? And we won't buy there. In fact, we might even tell our friends not to buy there until they get it together. I think all of that circles back, the commerce and the marketing and the, even the research circles back to making substantial change and circling back again to what makes us passionate.
Yeah, employee resource groups are really important. We're actually starting one at the software company that I work for as well. And it's awesome. They have them at IBM and Dell and Fidelity, all these large companies. And it's really important for the employees to feel involved.
And honestly, a lot of our business comes from employee resource groups, where the employee resource group at a corporation decides that they want to have a research done on the LGBT community. They're the ones that's driving it. They're the ones that are contacting us and making it happen.
Is there an example of one of those that you could share that's related to an employee resource group?
I think even just right now, we're doing work within a first of its kind survey on healthcare. And it's actually just going to close tomorrow. I've actually just peeked at the results just this morning. And the results are just fascinating about how the LGBT community really is feeling about healthcare, sort of post-Obamacare, and what we're doing as far as getting our healthcare.
Very cool. So as we create these resource groups, as we move toward full equality, I would imagine there would be only more business for you guys. Is that good for business?
Absolutely. I mean, to some degree, some people are beginning to talk about post-gay. You know, is there going to be a world where we have so much equality, there isn't a need for this kind of stuff? I think it will change. Certainly there are other segments, say the Latino market, it's always going to be there. The youth market's always going to be there. I think the LGBT market is always going to be there. I bet you it's not called LGBT in 5 years. We're going to come up with a new name or it's going to transition, because that's sort of our community. So our community is always a little bit on the cutting edge and we're always transitioning a little bit. It's also one of the frustrations sometimes for corporate America is just trying to keep up with that rapid change. And that's one thing research can help do.
Yes. And I was actually at the Victory Fund conference last weekend in Denver. Came to my home city. It was negative degrees, and I felt really bad for everyone who flew out there.
Different than Fort Lauderdale, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. But we were in a workshop, and we were talking about as we move toward full equality, America, we want you to do this. It has to be legal in all 50 states, not just 16, because we look to you as an example around the world. And there were these international people there, and it was just, it made you really inspired to get it done here, do it right. And I think there's still a ton of opportunities around the world for LGBT research as well.
Sure.
One of the things that we like to do on the podcast is learn about career advice and best practices. And I'm wondering if there's anything that you've learned in your career that you'd like to share with others, the best piece of advice that you've received or learned.
It's funny, if I even look within our staff and who we've hired through the years, it's young people with passion. They didn't always have the perfect degree that we were looking for, but they were people that hounded us. They were willing to intern with us. And once they were, you know, we saw them in action, found out how great they were, they're often the people that we hire. So that's what I'm saying, take a risk. Even if you feel like you don't have the experience sometimes with a certain project, but it's what your passion is, hound someone like me and Tom, and if you hound us enough and send us enough emails and calls, we begin to realize that you're real and you're going to break us, literally. And quite a few young people have done that, and wow, they have jobs at community marketing, so it's great.
So that's the employee side. I'd say if you have an idea to start a business, it's pretty much the same message. You have to be passionate about it. You can't go into a business saying, I'm going to do it because I think I could make a lot of money. There has to be some depth to it that will get you out of bed and will get you through the lean times, because starting a business, in my own experience, I mean, when I started in 1992, there were very few potential clients for us, but I had a vision. I knew that there was a need in the marketplace, and the first 3 or 4 years were actually really lean, but I persisted and tried to give to the industries that we were working with, and ultimately it came back in many fold.
Sure. And you also just got to be flexible. I mean, even for us, we certainly started in the travel industry, but the travel industry really does have extreme ups and downs. And after 9/11 and during the recession, the travel industry was hurt hard. So we, you know, have passion. We went after other types of industry. I think one of the projects that we were, you know, most amazed by in the last couple of years is that we did work for the U.S. Census Bureau, which is something that would have never happened in other administrations. But there's all these opportunities that change and open all the time. You just got to be positioned and passionate enough to go after them.
Right, so we've really diversified. Our client base, I'd say, is at this point maybe half tourism and hospitality and the half everything else. And that's been very helpful.
Yep. And now I've been to both events.
I know, right?
Yeah, good.
And another thing that came to mind as you were speaking about that is that you are actually an LGBTE certified business by the NGLCC, which means that there are more opportunities in the government, is my understanding, for companies who are LGBTE, which was a really great takeaway.
Sure, but not only the government. Most diversity departments of major corporations will, through their procurement process, they'll have to look for diversity. So they look to the certified Latino-owned companies and the certified African-American-owned companies and the certified women-owned companies, and now certified LGBT-owned. Many companies or large corporations are adopting that inclusion of LGBT in that policy. And so they're looking for suppliers who are LGBT-owned and operated.
And you don't win the contract with that, but it gets you in the door to speak to the right people, and that helps.
Yeah, and if we take your advice, your career advice, then we'll be the best and we'll be able to win.
Right. Absolutely.
And is there anything else you wanted to share regarding any of the research or any of the projects that you have? I know you specifically wanted to touch base on the research. So do you think we covered most of that?
I think the one message that many of our clients have heard and our attendees at the conference have heard many times is that there is no LGBT market. I think it's a real mistake to think of LGBT as a segment, because really we are a mosaic within that segment.
Yeah.
And the best advice that I can give to a company when they're outreaching to LGBT, because maybe they're outreaching to African American and Latino and now they've got this on their docket as well, is to really look at opportunities within LGBT. Men are different than women, so gay market is different than the lesbian market. Don't lump us together or you'll fail. Younger is different than older. Don't lump us together or you'll fail. And ethnicities and geography and so many different ways to approach our community, even special interests, once you identify those and go after them, that's really where the return on investment is. So I think that we've really learned that through our client projects over the past 10 years.
And I think when you look at this under 35 LGBT group, what we do know from our research is how they interact, the media that they use. It's very, very different than older LGBT people. And that's the big thing that we're watching, is how are these 35-year-olds and under progressing? And for some of our clients, say particularly alcohol-based clients, they're really doing a lot of research in that area. And the results have been fascinating.
Wow. And finally, this is the travel conference, right? So I'm wondering if you could share some of the fabulous places that you've been. I know you said you're going to be at the IGLTA conference next year in Madrid. And I'm wondering if you could share any of the other great places that you've been and would recommend to an LGBT traveler.
Oh, that we can't do that.
No?
We work with so many destinations. If we listed three quarters of them, which would take a while, the other quarter would say, why do you omit us from that list? Okay. They're all great. And the thing is, here's an example. Dave and I went to Fargo, North Dakota last year to do a workshop. And it's probably not high on everybody's bucket list to get there, but we loved it. They showed us such a good time. The town was great. It happened to be Pride season. We did a Pride run. The energy there was amazing. And I genuinely would like to go back there. But I like all the gay meccas. I just like diversity. I like to learn. I like to explore. They're all great.
And that's a really great thing that's happened. I mean, in the early days, you had, you know, San Francisco and Key West and Miami and a bunch of more known destinations outreaching to the LGBT community. Today, we just heard from St. Louis, who's been doing an amazing work within the LGBT community. Tom mentioned Fargo. All these smaller cities, resort towns, they're all really interested in the LGBT market, and it not only opens doors for LGBT travelers, but it really makes, like, say, employees of hotels in those destinations, it allows them to have more equality, really helps the locals who live in those destinations.
Huntsville, Alabama is here at this conference.
Really?
We're breaking new ground. Every time we do a new conference, we get a little bit of a surprise, and people who come and they're genuine and they're working with the local community and they're putting together advisory boards and they want to make a difference. That's what inspires me.
I think that's a great place to wrap up. Thank you for taking the time. I appreciate it and look forward to spending the rest of the conference with you.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot,
Paul.